The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I don't know if it's foreshadowing, but Kelly's playing Boulevard of Broken Dreams as we bring on board Christy Burton Brown, the chair of the Colorado GOP, and in studio, Priscilla Rahn, the vice chair. Priscilla is usually in studio because she's an educator going between here and wherever her final resting place is up in Denver as she continues to teach. Thanks both of you for coming on again.
Of course. Thanks, George.
Christy Burton Brown, you are not in studio, and I think a lot of that is because of the doctor's orders. No, I'm kidding. I made that up. I know you're running around doing all sorts
of
things.
Orders?
It's all about contagious. I think you have the COVID-24 or whatever it is, the latest variation, latest stream or something like that.
Interesting.
Squirm. Before we change into the really scary topic of politics, let me ask KBB, do you have a scariest movie?
You know, oh man, what was that movie called? I am not into horror movies at all. Because
don't say 2,000 Mules. Don't say 2,000 Mules if that's where you were going.
No, I think there's one called A Stranger in My House that I watched, like, oh my goodness, way back in college. And it was this girl who, she keeps getting called.
Babysitting? Is she babysitting?
But no one else is there. Yes.
Oh, yeah, I get it. And there's that moment where they're tracing the call, and it's that horrifying moment where they're like, it's coming from inside. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is super freaky. Priscilla was describing a movie that I didn't understand because I'd never seen it before, but apparently it's called Squirm.
I had to text my cousin in New York.
Yeah, of course. Of course, because the cousin in New York knows. In fact, someone up here texted before Squirm as well. Listen, we're going to move away from what's scary on the screen to what's hopefully very promising out there for a week from today. KBB, as you assess what's going on in terms of ballot returns, I know you guys get these numbers every day. Where are we?
We do. And actually today, George, is going to be a day where we get a ton of returns because Tuesdays are when they report most of the weekend numbers.
Okay.
And so the first weekend was slower than typical in Colorado. And I think it's because a few reasons. For one, in Colorado, people are used to this long period of time, roughly 3 weeks, where you can cast your ballot. And so people actually do push it later and later, especially when we have 11 different ballot measures statewide. So I think we're going to see a huge dump today. I'll find out, you know, in an hour or two if that's accurate. But we're definitely keeping track not only of results statewide, but in every district. We're really, really focused on legislative districts, like I've talked about all year long. Some of those key, there's seven key state Senate districts and some key state House districts. And just looking, what we can also look at is not only the total Republican return and Democrat return and unaffiliated return, but also what portion of that universe is the likely Republican voter versus the GOTV Republican voter. So those low propensity Republicans
That's
are really trying to drive out. Yeah.
My sense is if there's seven targeted districts for us, the Dems know that too. And so there's a bunch of money being dumped in there to carpet bomb homes with all these flyers and stuff like that and the digital ads. Are you noticing an increase in voter participation in those seven districts versus the ones where the seats may be determined to be too Dem, too Republican to really get involved?
Yeah, definitely in some of them. And I still think that's too early to say, just because I do think people in Colorado push their vote later. Like we saw that happen in 2020 in some cases, definitely in 2021 in some of the municipal elections like Aurora. And we're so far seeing it again this year.
Now, Priscilla, are you looking at these numbers as well? Is there some trends that we should look at that if you're a Republican, you should be optimistic?
Sure, I'm looking at the numbers. When I talk to different Republicans, the opinions are split. Some people believe in turning their ballots in early. Some people believe in voting on the day. So I believe we're going to see a large influx of more ballots coming in closer to Election Day. So I'm very optimistic at looking at and talking to other Republicans who are not only turning in their ballot, but going out and getting family and friends and talking to more people, because that's the big push. This is not the year where it's enough to just cast your own individual ballot, but to get, you know, it's legal to get 10 ballots. It's legal. And so we're encouraging people to say, go out and be active in your community, in your circles. We've got great participation with in precincts and volunteers going out and chasing ballots. Yeah. And so people aren't just sitting back in their laurels from what I'm seeing. People are constantly talking and using their time to go out and get ballots.
There is a story out there today that says that nationwide, and I know we're different than the rest of the nation, that 22 million people have already voted early, half of them Democrats, which is a huge number given the Republicans and affiliates out there. Couple questions. One, does that give you some sense of an enthusiasm gap between Dems and everybody else? Or two, is there some other explanation? Because that's not normal, right? Like normally we think Republicans vote much more early than others because we like to get things done. We're working, you know, that kind of thing, getting up in the morning, doing stuff. And the Dems usually dump their ballots in late because they have a pretty robust get out the vote effort in many of your urban centers and stuff like that that really kicks in that last week. Priscilla, any thoughts on that? Why half of the 22 million? And are we seeing that here in Colorado?
Well, I'm going to tell you what I'm seeing in communities where I've been putting a lot of outreach efforts into, and that's been in the Black and African diaspora communities,
yeah,
where they are voting in block for Republicans. Absolutely. The Ethiopian community has made it very clear that they've been abandoned by the Democrat Party, that the promises that were made were not kept. They're not even able to get meetings with the Democrat elected officials. And so they are actively endorsing all of our Republican candidates. They've endorsed Heidi. They've endorsed Steve Monahan. They've endorsed Eric Odlin. They've endorsed Stephanie Hancock. And they're asking their voters to not only make sure you're registered, but you go out there and vote. And they're not necessarily changing their party affiliation. That's not the most important thing to them. The most important thing to them is to vote for candidates that are going to stand up for their values. And they recognize that it's the Republican candidates.
Christy Burton Brown, what are your thoughts on that? And I don't know if you're tracking everything nationally, but to see that half of 22 million nationally are Dems, how does that compare with the turnout that we're seeing so far? I realize nothing is set in concrete yet because we still have a week and there's going to be a huge number of ballots that get dropped in those last couple of days. You know that. What's your sense of the trend here in Colorado with voters?
So in Colorado, George, it's still pretty split. There's still about an equal number of Republicans and Democrats, especially percentage-wise, turning in their ballots. There are some more registered Democrats in the state than Republicans. So in number, they are a little bit ahead of us. In percent, we're actually a little bit ahead. And then, of course, you have that unaffiliated number that is just so huge in Colorado. And they're voting at a lower percent than Republicans and Democrats, but their numbers are big. And that's very, very normal in Colorado. I'd say the biggest difference we see here is there are more just in the bank Democrat voters, people who always vote Democrat no matter what, who get in their ballot earlier now than they used to, because Democrats have really pushed the idea of early voting and how in favor their party is of it. And so you see more of their consistent voters turning it in early, whereas you do see a flip in the Republican Party where more of our very consistent in the bank voters now do prefer to vote in person, vote on the day. Actually, yesterday on Monday was the day that a lot of voting centers across the state opened, especially in our big counties. And so I do think this week you're going to see more Republican returns as well, because more people can go do it in person. And we, in recent years, George, and you know this, like in the Aurora election, we were able to keep really great pace with the Democrats the final 4 days, which is when a lot of Democrat returns used to come in and not so many Republicans. But we had a big GOTV push. We're having that again this year. And in fact, if anyone's listening and wants to get involved with that, we have a really big 96-hour GOTV push that we welcome even more help with.
Is that Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday push, that kind of 96 hours?
You got it.
How do they go find out information about that?
They should email me. My email is right on the website, kalogoff.org. Go to officers, and there I am, and there's my email, and I'll put them right up with.
We're talking to Christy Burton Brown, chair, and Priscilla Ron, vice chair of the state GOP. Would you guys, if people called in at 303-696-1971, would you guys take calls? I just want to give folks, I mean, I think this is the last time you're going to be on until after the election. We'll do a postmortem regardless. This may be the last time people get a chance to ask you questions. Some texters have texted in with stuff, and one question was, do they, that's you guys, have any insight as to why the Gazette would endorse Crow, I think, over Monahan? Makes no sense. Priscilla, any thoughts?
Yeah,
on that?
Sure.
Yeah, Christy, you got a thought.
Philip, you have a thought. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
okay. My thought would be, you know, you do see a lot of papers who typically, like, take the Denver Post. They endorsed all Democrats except for Pam Anderson. Most papers pick one person of another party to endorse. So Denver Gazette had endorsed all Republicans except for Jason Crow. Mm. So often, you know, they probably, that was just the selection they made. I do find it to be disappointing they didn't even interview Steve Monahan.
Yeah, that's weird.
I
get doing the interview and going against him. Like, they interviewed Kellner, and then they voted with the abortion guy because of abortion. I'm not just saying that. That was two-thirds of the endorsement for Weiser.
That's what the Denver Post did, yeah.
Yeah. But not meeting with Steve is weird. But I agree with you. I think that that is something to be able to say, hey, we don't just do party-line endorsements here. I'm not sure. Look, and in full disclosure, the Gazette is a somewhat of an employer of mine. They allow me to write a column and fill their papers up with it every single week. But I do think there's some truth to that, KBB, that they are looking, every paper is looking for a token. And I think in 2018, I was the token for the Post. They actually endorsed me over the professor. And that turned out huge, which gets me to my next question. Does it matter? Do any of these newspaper endorsements matter? Like, what's the benefit of having them other than to be able to send out a social media tweet that says, hey, they endorsed me? Priscilla?
No. I don't think so.
I don't think it matters. I mean, we all know, those of us who are out in the community are seeing Steve Monahan everywhere. He's right on the issues.
Yeah.
And for those of us who've been seeing what's been going on, I mean, Jason Crow, the leader of trying to take Trump down, like,
true,
that's his claim to
that
fame. I mean, he was in Pelosi's pocket. Like, seriously, that's who you want to represent you in Aurora, Colorado, or the Arapahoe County area? Like, no, like, that's he. What has he done? I can't think of anything, really.
He has come out really strongly against firearms several times. That's what I know so far that he's done. And he was part of, you're right, he was part of the team of attorneys that sought to impeach President Trump. That's absolutely true.
That's enough for him to go.
We've got some other texts, but these are all about scary movies right here. Maybe they're foreshadowing. The special effects suck, but the movie really good. Oh, some werewolf movie. I'm not going to ask you about a werewolf movie. Listen, as you head into this final break here, the other thing that sticks out from articles I've read, and you can look at this at Tracer Online. Folks, if you've never gone to Tracer at the Secretary of State's website, it is illuminating. Like, you can find out every person that has scratched a check or given some kind of an in-kind contribution to any candidate out there, and they have total dollar amounts spent and on hand and all that other stuff. The money disparity is real, and it's historic in a way, because I was telling Priscilla off air here, when I grew up, Republicans always outraised Democrats, right? And the Democrats would have to rely upon some other shenanigans in order to get into office. And I don't mean like fraud. I'm just saying there are other efforts. What is the reason, KBB, for the disparity these days? And I'm speculating here. Is there a reluctance by folks to give, and I mean the big dollar folks, because they're just not sure they're going to be betting on a winner? Or what's going on out there?
You know, George, I think that's a great question that people on our side definitely talk about quite a bit. I know a lot of donors have contributed very heavily, especially to, like, our state legislative races. So that actually has a really, really great Republican monetary effort, a lot bigger than we've seen in Colorado in the past. I think when you're in a state like Colorado, and really we are competing against career politicians on many levels, the Democrats are the incumbents in most of these seats. You do have to kind of say, okay, which ones are we going to try and take back first? Like, I think that's what donors do have to look at and say, you can't necessarily dump millions and millions into every single race when you're trying to take them all back. And so state Senate was always the most likely, as well as CD8. We see more money in that race as well. And then I think it's worth noting that both Phil Weiser and Jenner Griswold, both of whom have raised millions of dollars themselves. Phil Weiser is the chairman of the Attorney General Association, which is a national organization that I would argue he has handled it and made it a very corrupt organization. And then you see Jenner Griswold, who's the chairman of the Democrat Secretary of State's Association, which is also national. So, you know, when two elected statewide officials from Colorado are also the chairman of national organizations for their title, I think that affects fundraising very much as well for them.
Didn't Jenna use COVID relief money for
TDS.
That's corrupt.
Yeah, that is it's super suspicious. Some have called her out for it, but this gets to the bigger point. At the end of the day, when folks think about money, the only value of money in a campaign is to elevate name ID. You want folks to be able to identify someone by their name and vote. My worry is that after 2018, that's the first time I'd ever seen this in Colorado growing up here, was I'd never seen Coloradans vote party line before, up and down the ticket. It had always been ticket splitting. They might vote for a Democrat governor, but they'd vote for a Republican AG and Secretary of State. They might vote for a Democrat senator, but they'd vote for a Republican congressman. I've never seen party line voting before, and yet I think we're seeing it more and more now. We're seeing straight up and down 2018, 2020. And my worry is if you see that in 2022, it takes away some of the benefit of these advantages that folks otherwise had with name ID, because folks are just saying, I don't know the answer, but I do know Dems. I'm voting Dems. Or I don't know the answer, but I'm just voting Republican. So that the thing that Jenner Griswold did was super, super specious. I mean, it was not at all about trying to make people smarter. In that and the damn ad with Wayne, like, why in the world did they do that ad? I mean, all of it was about elevating name ID. And I think for her, it might work. I mean, nobody's going to sit down and compare just the credentials aside from the nobody's going to sit down and compare the credentials of Jenna Griswold and Pam Anderson and go, oh, yeah, Jenna, for sure. Nobody's going to do that. So we get stuck in this vacuum here where people are like, I don't know anything about anybody, but I've seen this name before. And so we, you know, the money thing matters in that way. The only way to defeat it is to deploy so many troops on the ground that you've got real live human beings going to doors or making calls and saying, have you heard of Pam Anderson? Have you heard of John Kellner? That kind of thing. What kind of efforts you guys have going on out there on the ground?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, George. And our people have already made like a million phone calls this year, knocked hundreds of thousands of doors, and those efforts are continuing. Some of our candidates have continued to only get more active and more impressive as we get closer to Election Day. But like I mentioned earlier in the show, we are recruiting even more people to come help with our 96-hour push Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. That is a great time to make sure every single Republican has turned in their ballot. So help us, email me, we'll sign you up. Or if you want to do it on your own and walk your own neighborhood, we can get you lists in your area, or go find your friends and family who haven't turned in their ballot and make sure they do it.
I want to ask you, and listen, I think I already know the answers because you two are at the top of this thing. I wish I could ask you over several bourbons off air. Actually, I'd record it surreptitiously and play it for the next day's show because that would be awesome. But I'm looking for predictions here. And I say that in just full candor because it matters to other things that we're going to talk about in the show and I've talked about before. For instance, judges. You've seen those signs out there, vote no on all judges. I'm not a proponent of that because you arm whoever the governor is going to be. If we were successful, let's say, you arm the governor, whoever it's going to be, with all of those selections. If I felt like I am certain Heidi's going to win, I'd be much more aggressive in my recommendations about voting no on judges, but I am worried because of that money gap and the name ID gap and all that. Like, are we going to be able to pull off that governor's race? And I know we're here. Some folks are out there. They text and they're like, don't be a Debbie Downer. And I'm like, listen, man, I'm not, this isn't 710 Republican radio. Like, I am a Republican. I'm a conservative, but I'm also a realist and a pragmatist too. What are your thoughts on our big races out there, KBB? And then Priscilla, I'll ask you too.
Well, you know, George, I think the number one targeted race this year in Colorado is CD8. And I absolutely think that Barbara Kirchmeier is going to win and be the first congresswoman from CD8. I think when we look at our statewide races, a lot of it's going to come down to turnout. I know I've said that before, but I really, really think even in races where it may look like we're behind, I think you can look at polls often and see likelihood of what may happen and be realistic and be honest. But I think you never say something's over until it's over. And also, with the economy being a huge, huge issue, cost of living, Colorado's tendency to split tickets. I don't think any poll means we cannot still go out there and win the treasurer's race, win the attorney general's race, win Pam Anderson. A lot of Democrats want someone professional back in that office. State Board of Education, hugely important for approving school charter schools across the state. Then, of course, we have governor and Senate. Turnouts they hugely matter in those races. And that's where I am, George. Rather than give you exact predictions, I'm going to say turnout deeply matters to picking up seats in Colorado.
Well, I think that's crap. No, I'm kidding. I really wanted you to commit to some names. Like Dan Malloy. I'm a big Dan Malloy fan, but nobody knows Dan. There's no chance he was ever going to raise enough. He can't polis his way into the State Board of Education. You know what I mean? Like only polis can do that. But he's another guy that ought to be there for not just balance, but because he's a good dude that has kids and stuff that do the school like mine. I mean, that guy should be in there. The treasurer thing, and I've said this before, if you can name the state treasurer, it's because you're the state treasurer. Nobody knows who that guy is, right? Like Lang should be running away with this. But your point about, hey, Coloradans don't, they ticket split. I don't know if that's true this year. I want you to be right. I really want you to be right, because if it's just party line voting, we get swamped with polis cash. He pulls everybody else across the finish line. I desperately want O'Day to win this thing for a whole bunch of reasons, national, but local too. I'm being candid with you when I tell you, I just have worries, not because it can't be won, just because of where we sit right now. We look at some of these numbers. I think, man, if we don't see a surge of participation at the unaffiliated level and Republican level to cast votes to make a change from this dumpster fire that is state government that we have right now, I worry about the future for Colorado. Priscilla, what do you think?
Yeah, I worry about families who can't have to choose between gas and groceries. I worry about parents who are sending their kids to school and their safety. I worry about people in the oil and gas industry and agricultural industry who are getting pushed out. And I worry about not being able to afford clean energy in our state. And when we look at policies, and people don't understand, we've had a Democrat majority for decades. You look at Denver specifically, 60 years of Democrat rule, and the gentrification.
And nothing bad happens in Denver
as a result. Nothing bad happens, right? We have 5% of Black and Hispanic third graders who are proficient. And that's not fair, George. It's not fair. And we have to unite. We keep saying, we've been saying this for months. And we have one common goal as Republicans, and that's to fire the Democrats because they have not served our community. And we have we don't owe them our votes. They don't. 4 years is a track record long enough to show what's been done. Violations of our Constitution, shutting down churches and schools, and keeping pot and liquor stores open. That's not fair. That's not constitutional. That's not what we're about in our country and in our state. And so if we want to take back our freedoms and our prosperity and our families and really reprioritize what's right for us, we have to turn out and vote, and we have to vote Republican up and down the ticket. I will say that as vice chair of the Colorado GOP, that's my job, is to get Republicans across the finish line because our values are better. They're better for everybody. And I believe that about our candidates. Yeah. And you're right. We've got to turn out, and it's not too late. We have, you know, days to go, but we have enough days to go out there and make a huge difference, not just for our families, but for everybody that we love in our circles.
It's an unfair playing field because the mainstream media leans left, some stations harder than others, and just don't provide the level of scrutiny that we expect everywhere else. I'll just say this. If we were shareholders of a company that kept underperforming and losing money every quarter, we would fire the CEO. And yet here in Colorado, we look around and go, this business is really failing. Let's keep that guy in place. You know what I mean? Like if Hackett were to have lost in London and we kept him on board as the coach, we're just asking for more losses. We're not making the playoffs, folks, for the Broncos. I think it's going to be different here. KBB, Priscilla, I've taken you long because I love having you on and having this thing. I'm optimistic for Tuesday. I think that Republicans are going to show up. And I want to ask the question of you out there listening at 710 KNUS. Are you hanging on to your ballot till the end? Do you know others who are doing so? If so, why? What are you waiting for? Personally, I think 3 weeks is too long. If we want to give people more than one day to vote, I'm all in about it. But 3 weeks, especially when you're holding debates after people have been turning in ballots, I just don't think that makes a lot of sense. It's not fair to voters. Priscilla Ron, she has given me a candle here, this special candle, and it's beautiful, by the way, and it's scented. What's the scent called?
Jonas Prudence.
Jonas Prudence, named after, I believe, our Attorney General Republican nominee, John Kellner. John, if you're listening, this thing is going right into the master bathroom for reasons I don't have to explain. It's just, it's fitting, and it's also going to be helpful on a lot of different levels. But this, it smells wonderful. And these people can find this on your Etsy site or something?
Yeah, or yeah, they come to my Etsy site at Rodell Organics, R-H-O-D-E-L-L, Organics.
Now, listen, plural. And Kelly just stood up because he's going to come in and say, now you owe us money for making that pitch. Christy Burton Brown, Priscilla Ron, as always, I love having you guys on. We're going to schedule you to come in afterwards, and hopefully it'll be, listen, if we pull off all the things we need to pull off, I'd love to get both of you in studio and we just drink on the radio, which I think is FCC compliant, but we will drink in celebration. Are you guys down with that?
I'm going to be
drinking coffee, George.
Yeah, I'll be in Mexico drinking a tequila.
I thought you'd be going to Mexico if it didn't turn out well.
Either you know way, I mean? I'm going to be.
So who needs an excuse? Christy Burton Brown, Priscilla Ron, chair and vice chair of the state GOP party. Thank you both for everything you're doing. Good luck. Get us over the goal line on Tuesday.
Thanks, John.
Okay. Thank you, George.
Sorry, jeez. It's me, John, on The George Show, 710 KNUS. George Brockler back with you here, 710 KNUS. My thanks to Christy Burton Brown and Priscilla Ron, the chair and vice chair of the state GOP. Had some folks text in questioning Priscilla's sobriety, largely because of her reference to me as John. It's, of course, the first time that we've ever met, not even close. I don't know. I imagine she's so focused on being the best educator she can be. I know she can't hear any of this because she's right now between the studio and her car. So I can say just about anything about Priscilla. No, I don't think it's the organic. Someone texted that in. There are some folks, too, who are like, George, you're not helping. You need to be more of a cheerleader, that kind of thing. I'm sorry, man. I don't feel like that's our function here. You know we lean right in the foxhole. You know that we, and you should know this, too. I don't have on candidates for office because I only invite Republicans on. We invite Democrats on. We have invited Polis. We have invited Weiser. We have invited, I think Billy has even reached out to the Secretary of State's office. I will have these people on the radio for a conversation. They just won't come. Now, having said that, you get the sense listening who gets interviewed on here that, hey, this is just a Republican radio station. I don't see my role as being a cheerleader for Republicans. I want Republicans to win. I'm going to vote Republican. I am a Republican. I'm a conservative. I've been on the ballot. No doubt. You know that. But I'm not here to make it seem like all sunshine and roses. My concern is with voter turnout. My concern is with how many ballots have come back and from whom. I'm worried about voter enthusiasm. I think this Dobbs decision, long term, was the right answer in terms of allowing states to weigh in on this, and Colorado did. But I don't think we were prepared for the amount of enthusiasm it created for folks, even here in Colorado, that are signing up to vote because they worry about having their ability to have this, whatever you want to call it, abortion, reproductive choice, I don't care what you call it, to have that limited by government. That's what they think. And they're not showing up to vote Republican. Some folks are motivated to, no doubt. I do worry about that. I also worry about the money gap because money is name ID. Name ID wins. That's what happens. Good or bad, name ID wins. No name ID, people default to the party thing. And that ain't good for us. Because most of the unaffiliated in this state, and I refuse to use the term independent because they're not. They're just not affiliated with a party. They tend to lean left, just the way it is, folks. And there are more Democrats than Republicans here in the state of Colorado. That's my worry. So the question I pose to you in the limited time that we have left on this particular topic, and I get a bunch of calls. We'll continue this in the 8 o'clock, but we're going to have Eric Odlin on. Are you hanging on to your ballot? And if so, why? Why have you not yet voted? You've had 2 weeks to vote, folks. What's going on? What is the hang-up? Why are you hanging on to it? 303-696-1971. We do have Dwayne was on hold, and Dwayne wanted to talk about scary movies. Dwayne, I want to honor all the callers that call in because I love you for doing it. But give us your scary movie, and then I'm going to ask you about your ballot, okay? Hello, Dwayne. Dwayne, it's scary that you're there, but you're not there. Are you there, Dwayne? Dwayne, going once, going twice. Dwayne, we lost you somehow. Give us a call back in if you get a better line. It didn't sound like we were getting all the way through to you. At least you could hear us. We couldn't hear you. I still have my ballot. You ask me why I haven't voted yet. Sloth? I just haven't gotten around to doing it. I know what I'm going to do on the ballot stuff. You know that we had Michael Fields from Advanced Colorado Institute on to talk about the different ballot measures. That was helpful to me also. Hey, Dwayne's right back here. Dwayne, you're on 710. Dwayne, what do you think? This is now getting super scary because you know what? If it turns out that Dwayne is a ghost, Dwayne, if you're calling from the next life, if you're calling from the light, click 3 times on your heavenly cell phone clicker.
Oh, man.
Oh, Dwayne, you're there. Oh, my God. Dwayne, whatever you were doing, it wasn't working. Dwayne, we can hear you. Are you there? Well, and now Dwayne's gone. 303-696-1971. Dwayne is trying once again. I get the feeling Dwayne's calling from the afterlife because it feels like we're just getting little glimpses. Is this like a seance thing? I need to break out my Ouija board to communicate with Dwayne. We'll try Dwayne again. You know what? Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to go to Jennifer. Jennifer, you're on 710. What are your thoughts, Jennifer?
Yeah, I haven't been able to decide to pull the lever for Joe O'Day, and that's why I'm hanging on to my ballot.
Is that the only race that you're hung up on? What are you doing? If you don't mind telling us, and of course your ballot's secret, but have you made decisions in all the other big races? And are you ticket splitting at all, or are you just voting party line?
Well, it ends up being party line, but it's not because of just that. It's because of the issues. And I guess the problem I have with Joe O'Day is not just that he's pro-abortion, but that they're promoting it that way. I think it's out of step with being a Republican, for one thing. But I just find it immoral.
In that regard, and we've had this conversation a million times here, in not voting for Joe O'Day, and I'm not saying you'd ever vote for Michael Bennett, I know you would, but in not voting for Joe O'Day, you acknowledge that you make it easier for Michael Bennett to get reelected. Is that a better outcome than someone who you viewed as a flawed Republican candidate?
That's the only thing I'm agonizing over. But, I mean, I feel like the Republican Party is thumbing their nose at us, you know. I mean, if their strategy is to get
the... Why do you blame the party for this? Why do you blame the party?
I feel like he was more supported by the party, like he's the candidate that they wanted. You know, I don't know specifically that they backed him with their money, but I've seen them do this a lot of times. You know, the little guys kind of get cast to the side and don't get the funding and the backing.
I'm glad you brought this up, Jennifer, because the party does not pick candidates. And in Colorado, the party is weaker than in other states because of our particular limits on funding and who can accept contributions and the limits and how much you can spend. So Christy Burton Brown and Priscilla Ron do a fantastic job at the things they're empowered to do. But I promise you, they are very scrupulous about showing any sort of favoritism towards one candidate or the other. But they don't have the ability to steer money to one candidate or other. That they just don't have that superpower. So when Joe O'Day wins, yeah, my guess is he spent more money in the primary than Ron Hanks. But the fact that Ron couldn't raise any money, that's an indication of support, too. So I don't think he's the handpicked.
I also think it's national. I'm sorry. I think it's also the national party.
It might be the NRSC, the National Republican Senatorial Committee, but it's not the RNC. The RNC doesn't weigh in either, but... Could I see Mitch McConnell saying, hey, I think I have a better shot of picking up Colorado with this candidate? I can, but I don't see them playing in primaries either. I really do see this being a function of Joe O'Day ran a better campaign. It was better funded, but it didn't come from the national party people. It came maybe from some of their donors, but I don't think it came from the party. I worry about that. I mean, if you think about that, too, if they're going to play in that race, how do we get a Masters? How do we get a J.D. Vance? How do we get a Mehmet Oz? How do we get a Herschel Walker if it's the National Party pulling the strings?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm just too cynical and not practical enough, but I think people can tell, you know, when you're a true believer and coming from a place of conviction. And so even if somebody is contrary to what this state is, like being pro-life, they'll have my backing 100%, even if it, I don't know. It, like I say, it's a struggle because I do want the Republican Party to win overall. I just, I have such a problem with his position on this issue.
Jennifer,
and
I
not
think
just his position, but the fact that he's bold about it, you know.
I think that it's appropriate for you to be skeptical of candidates in the system. I want everyone to be skeptical, but that doesn't mean ultimately you don't pull the trigger or cast the ballot. I'd leave you with this, and I know you've thought about this. At the end of the day, the question you have to answer is, am I better off with Michael Bennett as U.S. Senator at the state level and at the national level? And if the answer is no, then you do what you need to do to make that change. And not voting for Joe O'Dea doesn't help him. It helps Michael Bennett.
No, but it may help the next candidate to get the issues right. I don't know.
Well, so we want to wait 6 years, six more years of a Michael Bennett with the Democrat-controlled Senate, and we're going to cross our fingers that we don't crater before then? That's a tough one. That's a roll of the dice I wouldn't be willing to make.
It is. I just feel like here we are years and years out, and we keep playing this game.
I say we got to vote for what we have right now. That's my sense.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, listen, yeah. I'd love to have Peyton Manning behind center, but I'd be completely happy winning the Super Bowl with Russell Wilson. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think that's a different kind of concept there. I appreciate it.
Jennifer, thank you. I appreciate the candor in that. It's about winning. Listen, we're out of time for this particular segment. Leon, if I can get to you after we talk to our super smart buddy, Brian Gray from Alpine Planning, after this break, I for sure will take your call. And if we can't before, you hang on. You call us at 303-696-1971. You hang on through 8. I promise you we're going to get you on at some point in the show because I love the callers and the texters. When we come back, it's going to be BG with GB right here on The George Show, 710 KNUS. It's me, George Brockler, on The George Show, 710 KNUS. We are pleased, as always, about this time to be joined by, of course, I've pressed the wrong button because I'm not very bright. Hang on here. Big Bad Brian Gray from Alpine Planning. Brian, I wanted to point out, if you were thinking as a different financial strategy, nobody has won the big Powerball jackpot. It is up to $1.2 billion.
Hey, you got to buy a ticket.
You can't win if you don't buy it.
That's
and
right.
By the way, that is also about financial planning and getting into the market and doing your retirement. You can't win if you don't get involved in that.
Exactly, and you got to take your emotions out of it. If you take a look, we're coming off in October where the Dow alone was up 14%. That's the best advance it's had since January of 1976.
Wow.
S&P finished up 8% for the month. NASDAQ added 3.9. Today, the Dow is up almost 120 points. S&P's up 21, and then the NASDAQ's up about 80 points. So we've got some good momentum right now. The Fed is meeting today and tomorrow. They're expecting probably another 75 basis point rate hike, but you got to be in it to make the money, George. You said it right.
Now, when you look at October, and I saw the same stuff, that it was historic,
yep.
Why?
You know, I think it was just a lot of the pent-up demand. You know, I think that was one of the things. People started going out again. They're spending money. People, the U.S. economy's healthy. You know, we got to get the inflation number under control. That's still hovering around 6%. But people are out there spending, so I don't know. There's a lot of unknowns going on right now, but the market is doing its thing right now. We're over 32,000 on the Dow. We just have to have to keep pushing it and see where this thing ends up by the end of the year.
Do you have an expectation for the CPI, the Consumer Price Index?
Not really. It's going to be interesting when that number does come out to see where it's going to come in. As it relates to the inflation, I think inflation is still going to continue to rise, but that's where I think the Fed needs to get involved and start easing up on some of these rate hikes.
Any other things that we're going to hear about? There was an article I read, Brian, and I totally missed it, that said four things this week that'll give us a good indication of where the economy's going. The bump by the Fed, that matters. Is that today?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. The yep. CPI is one thing, and I'm missing the other ones. Are there other things out there that we ought to be looking at?
Well, we still got the corporate earnings. Earnings are coming in better than expected, and then if you take a look, BP, they just doubled their earnings as, you know, as people are going crazy with the oil prices and gas, et cetera. So keep an eye on corporate earnings. Keep an eye on the CPI numbers, see where that comes in. Uber, their revenue jumped 72%.
Dang.
So, yeah, we're starting to see some really good numbers come out. With Twitter, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that situation. Just keep your nose to the grindstone, and let's see where we end up.
I think what you can tell listening to you, Brian, and Amy, and Gabe, other than Gabe's complete confusion over what to do with his fandom for Major League Sports, other than that, that you guys know your business and you know the different angles of it, and if folks have questions about what to do with their retirement or how to financially plan moving forward, you guys are definitely the place to go. Alpine Planning Group is a comprehensive, that's a big word, that means all of it, baby, financial planning firm committed to improving your long-term, can't emphasize that word enough, long-term because it's hyphenated, financial success. Investing is a matter of trust, and you can just hear it when they talk to us. They're prepared to earn your trust. Call them today, 303-843-0918. Right now, pick up that phone, 303-843-0918. Thanks, Brian. We'll talk with you soon.
Okay, George. See ya.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC and registered investment advisor. Alpine Planning Group and Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. are not affiliated entities. 14 West Dry Creek Circle, Littleton, Colorado, 80120.
Hey, Kelly just spotted something breaking news on the news front here regarding the Supreme Court. Come on the air.
According to CNBC, the Supreme Court temporarily blocks Trump tax records from being given to Congress.
Isn't that interesting? Boy, that's something, man. 303-696-1971. Look, at the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to have on Eric Odlin. He's a candidate for CD7 out there. I do want to try to get a caller on if I can. Kathy, you're on 710 KNUS. Kathy, I've got about 45 seconds to a minute. Go.
Okay. Yeah, I just was listening to the lady previous to my call and her worried about Joe O'Dea's stance on abortion. And I was kind of like her, you know, they've got those ads out there just saying he's against abortion, period. And I don't think anyone ever hears that he is not against abortion up until 20 weeks that a woman should have the right to choose. And I agree with that. And I just kind of wanted to put that out there.
Well, I think that the other thing you're highlighting there that's important, Kathy, is that he is pro-life. He is a Catholic dude, Mullen kid, right? Like, he's pro-life personally, but as a matter of public policy, he has said, and I can't remember the number of weeks, but he has said, listen, I think it's appropriate to have something in policy where someone else can make a choice different than my own and the choice that my wife makes. You don't have to agree with that, but it doesn't make him pro-abortion,
right.
and it doesn't make him all 100% pro-life. Kathy, thank you for that clarification.
I appreciate it.
Hey, listen, Leon, everybody else on hold, we're going to do Eric Odlin next, but you stick around or hang up and call back after Eric's over. I promise we'll put you on, all right? So stick around. Republican nominee for the 7th, the mighty 7th Congressional District. He's a military guy. I like that. George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.